Welcome to Columbia Technology Partners, Ready to Prime, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. So this is the program that gives you the tools necessary to operate as a government contractor, specifically a small business government contractor in the Intel community. I love bringing guests on who can help you navigate the waters that are government contracting, and this one is no exception. She's one that's rather tough to get a hold of, so I'm very happy to have her here. Her name is Sharon Jones, director of, and I'm taking a quote here, directly from a video that I found of you not too long ago online, and I know you're looking at me like, oh God, what is he going to say? But you said it. The stellar, sustaining small business programs at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Do you remember that?
No.
I know that you're behind small business programs 100% merely by your actions in this particular video that I saw. I want to say it was 2012, before fiscal year 2013. Mm-hmm. And you urged large business people in the room to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the smalls go, look at these people. These are the ones I want to see you networking with.
Correct.
Then flipped the script and said, small business people, stand up.
Correct.
I want you large people to go talk to these people. And I know you can because you had to leave your phones outside.
That's correct.
There you go.
That's correct.
What do small business programs mean to you? What does small business mean to you?
Yeah, it is the government's policy to provide maximum practical opportunities for women-owned small businesses, small disadvantaged businesses, service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, hub-zone firms, and regular small businesses. So it's important that we give them every opportunity to get engaged within our acquisition process mm-hmm. here at DISA.
I know you have lots of ideas. The numbers prove that they're working.
It starts with Team DISA. Our agency is a very, very small business friendly agency. And that starts with the leadership. Our directors and all of our directors have been very strong, staunch advocates of our small business programs. We also have our program managers who make every concerted effort to ensure that small businesses are participating in our acquisition process. And we have our senior leaders. So I can't leave out anyone. We have our senior leaders, we have our directors, we have our component acquisition executive, Dr. Carter, who really goes out of her way to ensure small businesses are included in our acquisition process. And I have to also highlight our contracting team, led by Mr. Douglas Packard, who's our SES, who also makes sure that small businesses have a voice. The success at DISA is really DISA success because everyone plays a major role in ensuring that small businesses participate in our action process. I know it may sound like a line, but it really isn't.
No,
it's a team effort here.
I can tell that this isn't a line. You're actually espousing this now. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's planned for those of you who are listening. The program is about small business.
Correct.
Ready to Prime. We're looking for that person who's maybe working for a large or working for a company of some sort and has said to themselves, you know what, I can go out and do this on my own. Let me take that leap. What tips would you give to them approaching your organization who they may never have had any past performance here? And I know that you don't care about that as long as they're technically able.
Correct. That is a very, very true statement. It really does come down to technical capabilities. Whether you've proven yourself in the commercial market, whether you've proven yourself in other federal agencies, if you have the skill set and the talents that we're looking for and you support DISA's mission, because mm-hmm. that part is very important to be able to support our mission efforts, then you can easily find opportunities that fit into your company's portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of tips that I always like to give to small businesses is as you're looking and determining whether off of FedBizOps, as you're reading our solicitations or you're looking on FedBizOps for our sources sought, that basically make sure that whatever it is that you do is consistent with what we are doing. And so that means basically having the appropriate security or facility clearances. And keep in mind, procurements wait for no man or woman. And don't expect to win or keep a contract if the requirement is for a clearance on the day of the award and you don't have one yet.
I can see that as an issue.
Right. But here's one that is really, I think, is kind of simple. And you would think that most companies would know this, but they really don't for some reason. And that is constantly review your proposals for grammatical errors. You know, have different people from diverse backgrounds read your technical proposal for clarity, comprehension, and consistency and conciseness. It's important to submit a proposal that's completely free of errors and it's readable. And it's amazing how most companies don't take the time to make sure that they're their proposals are readable.
Are those, you know, you've got the high school teacher who says, you know, you spelled it wrong or you used it incorrectly or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you toss those aside? I'm just going to throw it out there.
No, actually, we're not going to toss it aside. But what we are going to look for is to ensure that your technical proposal is in compliant with our instructions.
Okay.
So it's very important for companies maybe to include a matrix to link the instructions to the offer, the evaluation criteria, and your proposal response. Even if your RFP doesn't ask for it, it really does ensure 100% compliance with the instructions. Because, you know, sometimes it's the little things that can trip up a proposal.
And I'm going to go off on a side note here. I like that. And I heard from someone, there is a class that is taught, and I think you have to take this class before you're allowed to do contracting. This is the way it was presented to me. I'm not 100% sure. You're looking at me with two heads. It's okay. Yeah. Is there a course that BD people need to take with DISA before they can begin contracting here?
No, actually, I think, yeah, that was definitely misrepresented.
Okay, perfect. Please set me straight because I'm going to be up front. Columbia Technology Partners does not work at DISA yet, but it's something that I want to talk to you about.
Okay. You know? All right. So most small business offices within the federal government have limited resources. For the yeoman's job that we do, we just don't have a lot of the support that's really needed to really fulfill every small business dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So my office is pretty small. So it's a lot easier for me to have what I call a monthly orientation session. I discuss DISA's mission, DISA's endeavors, things that the small business should know on how to do business, legislation that's going on in the federal marketplace, things that companies that may not have time to do on their own. But overall, it's just an orientation session.
Okay.
For companies, for anyone who is interested in doing business at DISA. So it's not limited to BD. It's open to the presence or anyone else in the company. And it's not a requirement. DISA is pretty much has an open door policy. So a small business that is interested in meeting with one of our senior leaders and they have a room on their calendar, that's fine. This is really for companies who just want to have a meeting with me. And be perfectly honest, there are more companies who want to meet with me than I actually have the time to give to them. And also, there's great synergy in these meetings when they're held. And it's also a wonderful networking opportunity because these companies now have met 30 some odd other companies who are interested in doing business at DISA. Mm-hmm. So everyone walks out with business cards, everyone walks out with a point of contact, and everyone walks out with a significant understanding of what DISA's mission endeavors are about, as well as some ongoing endeavors within the small business programs itself.
How often, you said they're monthly.
Monthly.
Where can people find out information about these meetings?
Actually,
because this is big.
All they have to do is just call our office, and it's just that simple. 301-225-6003.
The reason I brought that up is you had mentioned instructions, the ability to follow instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And instructions are given to people who attend these meetings, what to wear, possibly, what to bring with them. Is this true? You're laughing.
Actually, it is.
Okay.
One of the things, following instructions is critical. And my instructions are really just the fundamentals, you know, because
sure.
You can follow my instructions that I have outlined, no different than the instructions I'm pretty sure Ms. Mahoney gave to you in terms
Absolutely.
Of how to get on base here.
Absolutely.
So my instructions are no cell phones. So we have all the security procedures everyone has to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about bringing enough business cards because there is a business card exchange, as I mentioned earlier. It's also about where to park when they're here on DISA's campus because you just can't park anywhere.
Sure.
So we provide parking instructions. We let people know that their car will be towed. The other thing that we also provide is an opportunity for people to come business casual. And I really like for companies to wear their company shirts because as a small business, you got to figure out ways to stand out. And it's just amazing how many companies don't do that. So there is a list of instructions. And inevitably, in every single session, there's always one or two people who never follow the instructions or they just somehow overlook them.
See, the gentleman that I'm referring to is one who missed 2 points.
Okay.
Not only
okay.
Didn't have enough business cards, but was also wearing a tie. Didn't have on his the business casual company polo,
mm-hmm.
as was suggested, I guess. So he was relating this story as, you know, she's a stickler. She really wants you to follow instructions.
And simply because if you can follow those simple instructions, mm-hmm. then you should be able to compete for federal acquisitions by following the instructions that are listed in our request for proposals.
Sure.
You know, it's all about how successful for you as a company are you looking to become. And like I said, my instructions are pretty easy.
If you can't follow those, you got issues, people. Trust me. You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where my guest is the Director of Small Business Programs. Her name is Sharon Jones. Here on the campus of DISA is where we're sitting, in a room outside of security. Give me an idea of some success stories. You deal with a lot of small businesses on a regular basis. Do you have one that you're most proud of that maybe you played a role in?
You know, I want you to know that I gave that particular question strong thoughts and consideration.
Okay.
And I realized that there is no one story because, again, I'm going back to what I said earlier. This is Team DISA, and this is Team DISA at its best.
I want a Team DISA t-shirt. I don't mean to cut you off.
Actually, you know what? I'd like to probably have one, too.
See? Okay. You can have that one for free. How's that?
Exactly. Because one of the things that everyone makes a concerted effort here to include small business in all of our major acquisition. And I say that because that's exactly what, when you look at whether it's Encore 3 that's about to come out, again, that's going to have a small business suite. We're working with our Defense Spectrum Organization. They're putting together a requirement that I have a small business suite. So every effort is made from a DISA perspective to include small businesses in our action process. So there is no one story. It really is the agency being a strong advocate on behalf of small business. You know, we have the culture here is really at its foundation is very supportive of small business. But let me also be realistic here too for a moment by saying I'm very much aware that small businesses cannot do everything. Okay. And we're not expecting them to do everything. And so where small businesses are a good fit, we make opportunities. If small businesses are not a good fit, then there are not going to be any opportunities. I try very hard to ensure that there is an equitable opportunity across the board for small businesses as well as large businesses to have a role here, because the large primes are just as anxious to keep work and keep contracts just as much as the small businesses are. So we try to do an equitable distribution across the board to the greatest extent that we can.
There are plenty of socioeconomic categories that companies can fall into that can check off a lot of boxes for an agency like yourself.
Correct.
One of which that can be difficult to meet numbers for would be HubZone.
All right. So some of the issues with HubZone firms is, I think you're right. Okay, let's go take it from the communications aspect.
Sure.
It's not so much HubZones don't communicate their HubZones. I think they don't tell the story about why they're a HubZone or what is a HubZone. I think there is a disconnect because HubZone is that, you know, I'm not going to say it's touchy-feely, but everyone can denote what's a regular small business. Everyone knows what you mean when you say woman-owned small business. Everyone has an idea when you say small disadvantaged business, what that means. Everyone understands when you say service-able veteran-owned small business. But when they say HubZone, all of a sudden, you really do sometimes get the deer in the headlight. Okay, what is that, and what does that mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And companies should take the time to explain what it means to be a HubZone, why they're in the HubZone program, and how the HubZone program benefits their local communities, how they're bringing jobs to their local communities, and at the same time, they're bringing back to the government skill sets and opportunities the government may never have considered. So I think HubZones need to communicate their story mm-hmm. along with their capabilities. I think that goes a long way. And then I realized that the average life of a HubZone is 4 years. That's according to SBA statistics, because basically at that point they start to grow. And it's kind of hard to keep those percentages at 35% employee ratio as your company starts to expand. But the other piece, which is so difficult for HubZone, I think, it is a problem federal-wide for HubZones to actually get engaged, is the fact that there's, like everyone else, it's all about competition, and it's about HubZones literally bringing their four or five HubZones that they work with who are in their same skill set, bringing them to the table by saying, hey, these are requirements that we know that we can do. We've seen you advertise these on FedBizOps. These are things that are in that we are in our bailiwick, and here we have, I have my partners here with me, 5-6 companies, and we know that we can actually pursue this opportunity and be successful at it. They need to bring that competition to the table, but I would say in all categories, you bring competition to the table. Gone are the days where you can really work with one company. Right. It's really about literally working with your competition, getting your competition to respond to sources sought or RFIs, because those go a long way in enabling opportunities to go into the small business programs, along with the fact that don't believe the rumors that you hear out there that once it's posted to FedBizOps, we don't have an opportunity. I think you have to look at each agency independently right. and understand how they run their small business programs. And I will tell you that the things that DISA post on FedBizOps are fair game for any company that has the capabilities that we're looking for.
I'm glad you said that, because you're right. That is a big rumor that runs mm-hmm. rampant throughout the community. If it's on mm-hmm. FedBizOps, it's too late. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity for everyone. But mm-hmm. there are companies out there that feed on those who are mm-hmm. looking at government contracts mm-hmm. saying if it's out on FedBizOps, it's too late. That is definitely not the case.
I completely agree with you. And it's a shame that new companies, as they start to get into the federal marketplace, they hear that. And it's been a very persistent and consistent rumor. And without looking at each agent independently, what I always tell people, if you see something out on FedBizOps, and let's say it's a source of sought, mm-hmm. and it's only out there for 5 days, I hate to tell you, it's really not about you, the small business. It's really about that individual who's posted. You don't know what they may have planned. They may be getting ready to go on leave, or they have several other procurements that they're trying to get through quickly based on the fact that they have other responsibilities, whether it's training, whether it's going off and doing jury duty. You just don't know. A simple phone call can make a difference to find out exactly what's going on with that requirement. Sometimes companies have called and said, hey, this seems really good. Is there any way you can extend the time? By calling and asking the contracting officer, if you feel you're not getting the response that you're looking for, then call the small business office. But I can only speak for DISA. We're pretty much proactive and willing to work with companies, and the majority of our requirement on FedBizOps are fully available opportunities for any company to compete at. Right. And it's amazing how many companies will not pick up the phone.
Right.
A lot of them prefer email, but I will tell you, sometimes you get a faster response by calling than you do by emailing, because you may be one of hundreds of emails in someone's inbox.
Right. Right.
So sometimes picking up the phone and calling can get you an answer a lot faster.
I much prefer picking up the phone and talking right. to somebody.
And that actually, and when you think about it, that's how you build rapport. That's how you build relationships, because sometimes those conversations can actually take a twist. I was talking to one lady, and she called me asking about a particular procurement, and I can't tell you how. Next thing you know, we were talking about what it was like to be a vegetarian.
Wait, you're a vegetarian?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was an interesting dialogue, and she gave me this really phenomenal recipe that I ended up making. You know, so I'm just telling you that conversations can even without meeting people, you can have the most interesting of conversations.
Yeah.
I'll give another example that happened. One of the small businesses had a meeting with one of our program managers, and I didn't know about the meetings. I just want you to know that. And he had spoken to me before, because I had given him the information, oh, this is who you talk to, and this is who you have a conversation with. And he was stuck outside the gate because for some reason, because of his driver's license, he was not able to come on post. So he just called me and said, hey, can you sign me in? And I was like, you have a meeting here? Yes. And I remember him because of the conversation that we had. So I went and signed him in. So my point is that just by having those conversations can go a long way in building a rapport with the folks in the small business.
I'm the guy with the unicorn on my signature, email signature. Remember me? That's
right.
not going to happen
no.
as easily as the phone conversation.
Right.
And you're
right.
It's this is about relationship building. And I hope to build a relationship with you and this organization for the benefit of my company, just like I urge everyone out there listening to do the same. What's a number where they can reach you again?
301-225-6003.
Sharon Jones is her name. She's the director of Stellar Sustaining Small Business Programs.
I like alliterations.
There you go. I'm going to remember this forever, as I hope everybody else will. Is there anything else you want to touch upon? Something that we may have missed? A nugget of information that people need to know about you and the organization?
Okay, so there's just one thing that you did miss. I like to talk about FY14.
Oh, okay.
Okay, fiscal year FY14 was a banner year for Team DISA.
Okay.
And the reason why I say it was a banner year, it's one thing for over the last 5 years, we have actually awarded over $1 billion out of a $5 billion spend. So over the past 5 years, small businesses have been awarded $1 billion. Last year was really an amazing year because we awarded $1.6 billion to small businesses. And we, for the first time, we exceeded our small business goal, which is 26%. We've always exceeded our small business goal, but this is the very first time we actually went into the 30 percentile. So we actually, our small business goal was 26%. We came in at 33% of DISA spend went to small business, which equates to $1.6 billion. We hit all of our goals, and we hit some first time. Like, for the first time for small disadvantaged business, we awarded over $675 million.
Wow.
And the reason why it's impressive, because we are just an agency. We're not one of the services. We are an agency, so our spend is a lot less. And so $665 million. Into small disadvantaged business, but I'm really most proud of what we did for service-able veteran. Not only did we double the goal and come in at 7%, but we awarded over $331 million to service-able veterans.
Wow.
So I'm really pleased with that. And for the first time ever, it has been a struggle for us, but we actually awarded $96 million to hub zone firms. I would like to get them into the $100 million club,
sure,
like everyone else.
Sure.
But the fact that we actually, and that was pretty much a $10 million increase from a fiscal year FY13. So I'm very proud of what our agency is doing.
You're not clapping. You're not.
You know? Yeah, I'm very proud of what our agency is doing in terms of our support for small business. I believe that FY15 will also be another banner year for us because we've already reached the $1 billion mark. So I'm thinking that we're going to be successful too. So that's one
amazing
thing I want to highlight. The other thing that I would like to highlight is that my office is always available to do outreach events. So if anyone is interested in having anyone from my office speak at their outreach event or participate in an outreach event, we are available to do that. And I believe the final piece I would like to provide to small businesses is that when you have a small business appointment,
I'm sensing a rule. Uh-oh.
There's not a rule here.
I got that. I'm sitting in the principal's office feeling all of a sudden. Seriously, the hair just, you looked at me like, I was like, uh-oh.
No. It's just this, I think a lot of small businesses, whether you're meeting with the small business office or whether you're meeting with our program managers or senior leaders, you know, put your top 1, 2, 3 priorities first. Do not worry about setting the context. It's not important they know when your company was founded, how many people you have, because you have to assume that at the end you may only have 30 minutes. So put your first three questions, priorities, whatever information you want to know up front, because that will ensure that when you walk out of that meeting, you would have gotten the answers that you're looking for. Because when you put it at the end, if they're, you may not be able, let me rephrase that, you may not be able to ask your questions at the end.
Yeah.
So put your top three questions up front.
All right, will do. That's Sharon Jones from DISA. Columbia Technology Partners is a management IT company specializing in cloud, mobile, and information assurance. For teaming or subcontracting, call me, Alan Scott, 410-290-3280. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you again next time. For Federal News Radio 1500 AM and Columbia Technology Partners, I'm Alan Scott.